Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Poodle. How would you feel if a guy took you on a date and he said, "Surprise, I'm having a bracelet welded to your dick and you can't let anybody touch your dick without seeing this bracelet because it's never going to come off"?
I'd fake a heart attack, but actually it would not be fake.
Love is blind.
If someone were to put a weld a bracelet on me.
This is dumb.
I think I wrote this in. I think this is the stupidest thing ever.
This is not a good idea.
You can just cut it off.
I was thinking, what about your job? I mean, my dad, he worked out at Unirol, and when he was at the plant, you got to take stuff off like that.
What if it got caught in a machine?
Got caught in a machine and then fell. Then your hand fell into a used tire.
then his hand got stuck in a cotton gin.
It's true. You know, all those guys wear all those men wear those fucking, women do too, those wedding rings that are silicone.
I can't believe that's where you went. What if it gets caught in a machine?
Well, I grew up in blue collar America. People got to work out here.
I did too. It's just not where my head went. I was thinking how appalled I was by the fact they were soldering a bracelet onto each other and they thought it's better than tattoos.
It is better than tattoos. It looked thin.
It also looked cheap. It looked cheap and nondescript. Why bother?
If you're going to weld a bracelet to your wrist, it better be like a $5,000 bracelet, not like a $50 thing you bought at a kiosk store at the Shops of Legacy.
This was not $50. It did not look $50. It looked like you got it out of a crane machine. Yo, this is Love is Blind, season 3, episode 9, The Last Supper.
The Last Supper. Wow. It's not dramatic at all.
I
wrote, Jake is screaming at this bracelet.
It's just so stupid to me. The concept. And also the fact that he took her there without knowing what it was. And it feels...
With her not knowing. Yes,
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. It feels like, well, guess what? You're trapped now. And it'd be different if these were two people who had had a normal engagement. But this was
not normal.
Well, also, this felt like, so you have to say yes now.
Yes.
Because the whole concept of Love is Blind is about
choice.
Both of these people having a choice.
Yeah, choice.
And I could not hate him more.
I would pay, if I had SK's number, first of all, that's for a dick pic. But if not, I would say, I'll pay you $10,000 to take Raven on camera and say, I want to weld a bracelet to your wrist.
She would say, legitimately and rightly so, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It felt like... Even though he was wearing one too, it felt like ownership for the both of them. And I hate this idea. I don't know. You guys can fucking come at me if you think it's a good idea. It's stupid, according to me.
I mean, maybe it's nice to do when you're like 20 years in married. But even then, that,
no.
Even
I want to be able to take off a bracelet.
I know. What if it's not comfortable?
That
I like that I'm worried about the comfortability of this, and
I'm
you're
opposed
worried about
in principle. I'm telling you, I would have a straight up panic attack.
Oh, yeah,
I would say I'd call it a bomb threat.
Even if it was Ryan Gosling.
Even then, I don't want to be. Yeah, I don't want to be. I don't want to be. It feels like handcuffs to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to willfully put on a ring. I don't want something to be to chain me.
I don't care. If it's
I cannot
Boris
be
Kojo.
Tamed.
I don't
as
want
we
that
have,
shit.
As we have,
you can't.
As we have,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Poodles are untrainable.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this to you a minute ago. I think there's not just one more episode left. There are two more. We thought episode 11 was going to be the reunion. I don't think that's what's happening. I think the last episode, I can already tell you, in episode 10, it says two couples get married and we have bachelor parties and bachelorette parties and all that shit. And I guess the episode 11 is when we see the other three weddings.
I
and
guess
then
so.
The reunion's there.
And then the reunion.
It's a little weird. I guess there's been so much drama this season.
This was the first episode where this just felt, this wasn't a dud episode by any means, but it just felt like a calm before a storm. It didn't really, I mean, there were some moments, but it wasn't, you could kind of catch your breath this episode. It was still good though. I still enjoyed it.
I want to bring up a point I was going to save it, like you told me. That one of the issues we had last season, we didn't have it the first season, or maybe we did, I can't really remember. I think maybe a little bit, hints of it, like that Gigi Damien-ish conversation. What they seem to be doing with the editing is really, really manipulating us in a way where it going from highest high to lowest low. And it gets slightly old for me after you do it two or three times. And they just did this with Cole and Zenob. This is like the third time. And
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's Cole and Zenob's relationship.
I agree. But I'm saying the selective to use it there to erode everything we had in the first of the
you
first
said
thing.
Before that we started the show, and I bet before I yelled at you to save, actually I didn't yell at him.
He said I was gonna save it.
He's learned to self yell at himself and say I'm gonna save it. So I'm proud for you. But like you said though, I'm sure this was one of many different fights they could have taken.
I know. I'm saying
I bet they have these a lot because it's exhausting to be in a relationship with her.
I don't know what I would do. That bit. Now, he behaved awfully at the end of it, but I can only imagine it's just from the buildup of
you
that.
You thought he behaved awfully this episode?
Well, when he called her, asked her if she was bipolar at the very end.
That wasn't offensive to me. I think
really?
I think he genuinely meant that.
Really?
I don't think he meant that.
Interesting.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
I know my jaw dropped.
Let's
because he was to me that felt like having a normal fight and then accusing someone of being mentally ill.
We'll talk about. I mean, I think it was it came out of like context. I don't think it was a lot. I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Cole was a very naive statement. I don't think it was a good thing to say, but I don't think he meant it with. I don't think he knew fully what he was saying.
It's so interesting. I just want to point this out but it's true. You have become, I was a very much of a Cole sympathizer at the beginning.
We switched.
And I think we've switched.
We've switched, yeah. We've switched. I think because I've been in, transparency, I've been in, not recently, but in my younger years, I was in a lot of friendships, relationships with Zenobs.
Yeah,
so
I can see that.
I was a lot in my life. So I very much relate to how I kind of broke that pattern, thankfully, in my early 30s. But I see why Cole, so I do relate to him in that way.
I think there's nothing like being with someone, someone who's going to neg you all the time. There's nothing like that to break your spirit.
Yeah.
And it is, boy, she has oddly, to me, oddly, she has a big amount of support out there on the internet.
No, I can see why.
And mostly it's people who hate Cole. Weirdly, hating Cole means liking Zenob in a strange way.
Well, Cole's...
You have to pick winners and losers, I guess.
Cole is like the McDonald's on this show. He's the one that stands out the most, and he signifies a lot of fuckboys for different people. Bartiz as well, but I think Cole especially, because Cole's more charming.
Yeah.
And so, whereas the Burger Kings, the Wendy's, they're not going to get the flack that McDonald's does.
It all
does.
Goes back to fast food for you, doesn't it?
You know, I just thought of it because I have to say, no, I saw a, it's in my mind just because I have to say Neil Patrick Harris, their family did a really fucking good Halloween costume. They were all dressed as a character.
I saw it.
Fast food. Yeah. It was really cute. And I just saw it and made me think of it.
It's all ruined for me that when he did Amy Winehouse after she died.
Everybody did Amy Winehouse after she died.
No. No,
are you
they
kidding?
Did not.
That all of my gay friends did Amy Winehouse after she died.
No, honey, no.
She died, and I had like five gay friends that did. They did it before, and then they did it again. They said, I remember two of them saying, like, it's like a tribute. And I went, is it?
No, that's gross.
A lot
I
of
didn't know
did.
Anyone who did that after she died.
Oh, I did.
I knew people who did it when she was still alive.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can defend it by saying all my friends did that. Those are shitty friends.
I don't know. People die. You can still be them for Halloween.
But it wasn't a joke. Her death was a death that was marred by addiction and a wretched way to die.
I wouldn't have done it, but yeah.
But I'm saying the defense of that isn't everyone did it.
I mean, it's...
No, that was so... And gross. I know he's got a huge fan base.
He does.
I've seen him in the last 3 or 4 years just... I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah, never been... I've talked to him at parties. He's always very nice.
Yeah, name dropper. I know.
Well, he is. He's nice. All right, let's finish up with Nancy and Bartiz because we kind of got off, but there's really not much to Nancy and Bartiz besides the bracelets. And then, y'all, this is the episode where everybody goes on their kind of last dates, hence the Last Supper. She looks gorgeous. She's got her hair up in a high pony. Her makeup's fucking beat. She looks beautiful. They're eating at some steak restaurant in Dallas. She's never had a rib, which I can't believe she's from Texas and never had a rib.
It is strange. I know there are a lot of people who have issues with meat on the bone.
I agree.
They can't eat meat off of a bone. And that is a legitimate thing. Someone told me that once, and then I started hearing it everywhere. But it is a legitimate thing that people do not eat meat on the bone.
I get that. Yeah. I get it.
A rib is delicious, though.
I was shocked, though. It in Texas, it's because if you go to a Mexican restaurant and they have fucking ribs in Texas. They're just fucking everywhere. I'm like, what the hell? Anyway, so Bartiz is sitting there and he's like, please, I just want to ask, did you understand?
Try a rib, swallow, and then open your mouth. Let's get my joke about sucking dick.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. I'd still do it once.
I hate to say this. I'm there. I could not do it. He is such an asshole. He's repellent to me.
Yeah, I'd let him do it once.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah. No.
When he said that, I went, oh.
I'd like to say you need to respect yourself more, but that ship has sailed.
Yeah, you and I don't respect ourselves at all. That's been long gone. But I want to ask you, what did Bartiz say? Because I don't understand anything of what he's saying.
No, he talks in fucking circles.
Yeah.
He talks in, it's like someone took cliff notes of a Brené Brown speech, combined it with like the 4-hour work week, and then slowly combined the four agreements.
And not even anything that good, but yes.
But it's like, almost like it's the word secret, salad of that.
It's almost like the secret and chicken noodle for the soul.
Yeah. Oh God.
Like basic.
But it's very word salad. He's like, he basically says, I learned that relationships are hard. I'm like,
yeah. Okay. And water's okay. Wet.
And it also, you also realize that this must have been his first adult relationship.
Well, he said to his family he's never been this honest with a woman about his feelings before, ever. Well, so I just assumed.
And I think at 25, that sounds about right.
Again, you know? it does go back to this show that honestly, none of these people are at an age where they have any business looking for the one.
Right. It's like the ultimatum when everyone was like 23 and 24.
I know.
I need to get married now and have babies.
I still think they need to do this show when people are like,
oh,
35.
Give me a woman who's been waiting for a man. She's been waiting for that man to marry her for 17 years. She's been his girlfriend since she was 23.
Yeah, like my manager at Sephora.
Yes. Yeah. That's the ultimatum I want to see.
Yeah.
Where she just says, and at the very end, he's like, I want to move on. And she just pulls out a knife and stabs him.
Yeah, basically.
That's the one I want to see. That's you just see her eyes just going around in their sockets.
I wonder if they would ever do that with older people.
Why would you put anyone who's over 40 on television? Oh, my God, perish the thought.
They couldn't do it with people that are too old because, honestly, I think for most people that get older, like people in their 50s and 60s, most people have learned to care less about shit.
Yeah.
They're less neurotic.
I think,
but a good like 35 to 40 age range, that'd be a good show.
I think, I don't think they want to put these kind of Netflix shows, I don't think they want to put anyone who's over 35, 36
no.
on the show.
Want us to go, Bartice is hot, Cole is hot, Raven's banging.
Yeah. I get that. Anyway, I'm so grossed out by him. And he basically says, you're a great best friend and a potential wife. And how potential. Do I show you I love potential. You?
Potential. Potential.
And Nancy says,
this is where I went. We're fucked, y'all.
She doesn't. I feel like the editing with her, and now this is one of the things I was trying to bring up earlier, and maybe other people were thinking about it. The editing with her is so selective, and because it feels like they're editing her only to say positive things about him the last couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, but I'm saying the idea that I should have to question the editing is really upsetting for me. It's this show.
I get that the editing, but I also don't know. I don't know if it is the editing or it's just, I mean, Nancy said the words to her mouth. She said, I'm glad I didn't pick a guy. I'm glad I picked the perfect guy. And every day you show me why I choose you. You aren't some guy. And I went, oh no. Like she is just. She is gonna love is blind because it does not. She cannot see who this guy is.
It's that, or they've edited it because of the goblets. They found him saying something really, really amazing and the beginning of the conversation and not the end of it. It's like
I think they're both gonna say yes. Yeah.
I will be enraged. You will hear, if you're in Los Angeles, you will hear, if I'm watching that, as soon as we get it, you'll hear, and I'll need to have sex just to get the anger out of me. And I may have to kill the person after.
Eat them like a praying mantis.
Yes. Just rip off their head. What's the, is there anything else left for them? God,
No, we no. just have next is Alexa.
Jesus.
I have to shut my curtains so nobody hears me out my apartment. Hold on. Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
I have a sound curtain that when y'all were remote but goat today. And so when I do it, it kind of takes out the sound so everyone doesn't hear this queen just screaming down the hall.
Oh, you in my building, you're so loud.
Yeah.
My tones are dulcet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. They go, who is that young gay cockatiel playing the harp just cooing?
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Alexa and Brennan, y'all.
There wasn't a lot.
He's learning Torah.
I didn't know all that. I mean, I wasn't, but I've been to several Jewish weddings and they just give us the yarmulke. I never knew what it meant. I thought that was beautiful.
Well, it's just everyone needs to wear it. There's a lot of reasons why you wear it that are not just kind of like a cultural, it's very, very, a lot of things about weddings in Jewish culture are traditional. So,
which I get it from being even more than good Catholic, but I, you know, even Dad admitted, "Hey, I went to classes and I learned shit I never knew." So, great. They're having like this little talk. Is that
grandfather who has one of those taxi cab hats that I just love old people wear?
It's true.
And Barry, because of course his name is Barry, he says, "You know, your kid's gonna be Jewish. That's it. You're Jewish."
And
the kid's Jewish, nothing you can do about it.
And Brennan is like, nothing faces him. He's just like, yeah, okay.
And it kind of freaks me out a little bit. He's kind of got that smile the whole way. Maybe that's just, I've soothed myself with thinking that's just him.
I don't know. I was wondering I was like, it looks a little bit like his eyes are glazed over and he's going through the motions. But
if
I want to believe
no,
it's real.
I will destroy something.
So I guess we're not watching the finale together because
I don't
want to die. No,
head like a zit.
I already did a show with you, sugared up. I'm not going to be around that again.
Oh, I'll get one of Cole's Nerf guns and hit you in the face with it.
Boy, wrong audience for that.
Wrong
Cole.
Bitch.
You got the wrong bitch. So,
anyway, they're talking about the chuppah. He's all excited about being Jewish.
None of that matters because Brennan has a motorcycle and Alexa was driving on the back.
I lost my mind. Holy fuck.
I knew you did.
He became at least 40% more attractive to me when she was holding on the back of his motorcycle, just riding that hog. And he got a hog.
When I saw it, I went, oh no, this is going to take Poodle over the edge. You cannot date a man with a motorcycle. I will not let you.
I know. I was that one guy who I rode on the back of my motorcycle because you never knew about it.
I will call your mother.
I know. So y'all, he's rated a movie theater. This is a great, and there's like a movie of their lives. I don't know if production just tells them what they've done for them or not.
Yes, yes. You think Bartiz wanted to go get a bracelet that you solder around your wrist?
Yes. I kind of think he did. I think they had the choice, and Bartiz wanted to do that.
No, because they edited it together. So they go to the theater. Honestly,
there's a movie of their story.
There's nothing here. They try to act like Alexis kind of says, well, I don't know. The day of, we'll see where my mind. Y'all.
They're both going to say yes.
This is Lauren and Cameron. This is Endgame. It's fine. It's fine.
I swear to God, if he says no, I'm going to go to Netflix. I'm going to show up and just wait in the waiting room and said, I need to see the president. They're like, he's not here. I need to see the most powerful person here.
Yeah, you don't have that power.
I'll wait him out.
Do you want to So let's do this, actually, since we talked a lot about, but to save, because I feel like we'll exhaust ourselves. Let's do Colleen and Matt, and then we'll do SK and Raven, and we'll end with Zenob and Cole, because that's how the show ended, and also we clearly have the most opinions about them.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think everyone has the most opinions about those two.
So you were wondering, you went, we never met Colleen's parents last episode, and then now we did.
Now we did in episode 9.
Now
I think they live elsewhere. They live in Pennsylvania, so that makes sense.
They, yes, Maureen and Richard.
And they're like, we've never met a boyfriend before. Because she's, what, 25, 26?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I will say that's kind of, it's not unheard of not to meet a boyfriend because she's just having fun, y'all.
I think if your kids are not dating somebody for longer than, I don't know, 6 months, and you haven't met one of their boyfriends or girlfriends before the age of 30, that's okay.
I agree. How old is Colleen? I just need to look.
Here, I can look. I'm on my computer. Colleen, Love is Blind.
Age.
I'll tell you. Colleen is...
People are screaming.
I know, they're screaming, and I'm not going to edit this out because she is 26.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Matt is 28. He looks older than 28.
He does look older than 28. He's been out in the sun too much.
Wow. Yeah, it does. And, yeah. Okay, yeah, the oldest person is Nancy and Zenob are both 32.
Yeah. Ooh. Not Jessica, who was 34.
And they're anymore. You're 20. Yeah.
So they are, and she's even telling to her parents, you know, I don't get deep. I'm just, honey, I don't think that's selling you the way you think it is.
I will say there's a lot of, for the few, I don't know a ton, but it's a few young girlfriends I know, I do feel like maybe sometimes that can be a response to this idea of like women want to be the cool girl, especially when they're younger. And being the cool girl means you don't talk about feelings. Like you don't get upset. You're always the cool girl. So you stay cool for the guy because the guy has
to be married. Feelings.
I know, but I mean, it's conditioning. I'm talking about like when you're that young.
I can see that. I can see that.
Because you're right. When you're 36, if you go around saying, I'm not that deep, that's a problem.
I think it would be because if someone, even when someone was 26 and they told me they weren't that deep, I would be so turned off. But that's me.
We're gay. That's different. We were so in our head and like deep thinking. But think about some of the young gay men now that we know that don't have to go through what we go through, that their parents just accepted them for what they were. They could wear a dress when they were 5 years old. They're just they're shallow, too. And that's part of gay rights. They can be shallow if they want. That's what we all want.
You can be a vapid queen, and that is society progressing. Yeah,
yes,
I see that.
That's equality.
That. So they talk about being behind the screen made it easier. And Matt said, "My parents thought this all was a scam." I think my parents would say this too.
Yeah, oh, your mother doesn't still trust Cameo. She still thinks Cameo is a mafia thing for you.
No, she thinks it's like invented by the Chinese government or something like that. God, Jaybird, I think that's a Chinese trick.
She doesn't get it.
No. But mom says,
I wish you could offer when you go home for Christmas. I wish you could offer cameos from your mother, but like they would go to charity. So people would have to pay like $500 for it, but just I would love a cameo from Mother Poodle.
She would not know. She'd be so nervous being on camera.
She would.
She would not know what to say. She wouldn't do it. She absolutely would not do it.
My mother wouldn't either.
I could force her to do it by saying, "Mom, say hi," or something like that. But I don't want to put my mom on cameos.
Are you sure? I really would like just to hear the stories about you trying to do cameos with your mother over Christmas break. That'd make me happy.
I don't know. I don't. She'd
it would be
so,
torture for you. That's why I'm
so concerned about how she looks and everything like that.
Oh, God.
I don't want to do that to her.
I know, but I'd like to do that to you.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
But yes, so.
And she'd get into it. She's like, let me tell you another story about Jay Bird.
She would. It'd be like a 10-minute cameo.
And then my father would scream for the end of the room. She's like, Caw! He's so helpless. It's ridiculous. Do you know what he did the other day? And he'd go on. And he'd say, Muffin. I'm going to pet you in just a second.
I'm going to pet you just a second. Are you ever going to tell her about the zombie movie?
No, I should. She would say, that's just foolishness. No, then she would say, I would survive.
Oh, that woman's one in a million.
I guess I'm just a big joke.
That she would say that.
She's like, that's why you come home. You're just going to get material for your podcast.
That's what my family says too, actually. They'll say something like, don't tell it in your show. And I'll say, I won't.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to listen. So even though I've shown her how to do it, she's like, I got too much to do.
That's a blessing. Don't teach her again. My family does every once in a while. My mother will call me.
My mother would listen, not tell me. Maggie, that's what it would be.
Does Jake really sleep with that many people?
Yes.
And I say, yes. And then she'll say, do you?
Oh!
And I'll go, we're not going to talk about that right now. I just said, Mom, I had my fun. Okay.
So she's talking about Colleen, basically says my concerns are communicating and conflict. And he's like, I don't know if he'll still be here if the shit hits the fan. That is a reasonable concern to have, because he's shown you two different times that we've seen that when he gets upset, he immediately lashes Nails. Out and does not trust you and says, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
And it does make sense that you would have that concern.
Yes. And you know, we get the whole mom is like, I want to make sure he's a good match and that he cares about you. And the dad gives I want to make sure he respects you and takes care of you. Yada, yada. And so, but like,
yada, yada, yada. Well, parents, shitty conversation. Yeah.
Maureen says that I feel like I've heard more tonight from you, Colleen, than I normally do. But Matt goes to the bathroom and Maureen, mom, I'm assuming they're Catholic, because she says, you know, this is a sacrament.
Sacrament, yeah.
This isn't something we take. This isn't something we take lightly. And, you know, I just want to make sure, I don't know how religious Colleen is, but it's something Colleen looks at them and says, honestly, we're not sure. And I thought, when she said that, I thought, huh, is she sure? Because I feel like she's just putting that on. And then we have dinner at the Rainforest Cafe at Grapevine Mills.
No, I think this is a great idea.
I thought
aquarium.
It was a great idea, but I think this is a new addition to the Grapevine Mills Mall. Remember when they did Rainforest Cafe in Dallas and everybody talked about it
people
like it was
lost
fucking,
their fucking minds.
People acted like the Rainforest Cafe, y'all, was fucking Spago.
Let me just tell you, it's the same grilled chicken sandwich. It's the same grilled chicken sandwich and fries, y'all.
It is the same, but you're just in the middle. To me, it's terrifying because you're sitting
it's
there trying
to eat. It's dry
chicken. Yeah.
It's dry chicken and under-seasoned fries.
And then you're just hearing bird noises going, ooh, 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 ah!
I'm like, what?
I don't like it.
It's not good. It's in any kind of theme restaurant, with the exception of maybe the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, which is not really a theme restaurant, but like it's like that's a private club. But like any kind of theme restaurant like that, that's all a gimmick, the food's not going to be good. Just don't even try.
I thought Molly Murphy's was good, but I was also 8. So,
Molly Murphy. I don't know what that is.
It's one of those restaurants where they talk shit to you and the actors are character
actors. Oh, yeah. There's like so many of those.
But that food was garbage, I'm sure. You're right. You're right.
Yo, don't go to a gimmick restaurant to get good food.
Well, unless you're in like in Disneyland or Disney World. They have some good ones.
Really?
That Blue Bayou restaurant at the Pirates of the Caribbean's good.
Theme park food is trash.
No, the one at the Blue. We went the. Remember when we the one that's the restaurant in the Pirates of the Caribbean that's New Orleans food?
Oh, it was good. Yeah, I don't remember because I think I was drunk.
Probably there is Club 33. People go to that.
That, but that's a specific thing.
Yeah,
but I'm saying in general, theme park, you're going to overpay and the food's not good.
Ariel's Grotto is supposed to be good. I haven't been long.
There's
I go to Disneyland. I haven't been in a long time.
But you have to admit, 5% of the restaurants you're going to eat in a theme park are going to be good.
Yeah,
and they're going to be very expensive when they are.
No, it's going to be terrible. That's why, y'all, if you go to Disneyland or Disney World, just get the corn dog on Main Street. You're doing yourself. It's cheaper, and it's the best thing you're going to eat all fucking day.
I do enjoy the Italian restaurant in California Adventure. Because I leave the whole group and I just drink wine and read my book, and while the whole group is riding roller coasters, and I'm like, I need my time alone.
It's true. And there's always a gay server or cast member.
Yes,
you can
to be a flirt
the Disney
with.
World. Yeah,
and the Italian food's okay. You're not.
It's fine.
How hard is it to throw some marinara and pasta together?
I'm going to let the Italians come for you on that, boy.
No,
I'm not touching that.
What I'm saying is it's not hard to make okay Italian food. To make really, really good Italian food actually takes time and craft. But you can throw some marinara at a theme park restaurant. You can throw some decent tomato sauce and, I don't know, on a pasta. And I'll be like, sure, I'll eat it because I'm an animal at a trough right now.
We need to move on.
I agree.
It is pretty. The state is pretty. It's very beautiful. But Matt is crazy in the state to me. He came off as very like this build again of desperation.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, no. To me, he is so worried she's going to say no that he's already starting to try to steel himself for it.
Yeah.
And it comes off as a little unhinged.
A little?
I'm trying to be kind.
Say it.
He basically says it started off, I think, well, when he's like, you put in a lot of effort and I want you to feel the effort from me. And he's like, could you spend the rest of your life with me? She's hemming and hawing. I think this is a little bit of selective editing. Because I think she's going to say yes.
I don't know. Maybe it is. And, you know, she's a performer. So maybe she is acting. You know,
yeah.
One
of the reasons I say that is she came down so hard on the line. And I'm saying what this show likes to do is take you from the highest highs to the lowest lows.
I agree.
So I feel like this is what I'm talking about. I'm having to speculate about the editing and it bothers me.
I think just because they combine two scenes with, because everybody else, like we get like they seem happy, then they're not. This whole theme of this undercurrent was Colleen was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And she finally says to him, he's like, you know, she's like, I'm questioning. Like, Matt says, well, you have to know if you want to get married. She's like, well, I don't know. Is love enough? And she's like, I'm so there, but I'm not. Every day is different. And she's like, but
stop
I love
playing
you.
Game. Just say it. Pew, 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 pew.
And that's where she says, right now, no. And you see, that's what's scary is that I don't think Matt's like a monster or anything like that. I think he's probably...
He scares me.
I think he is a decent guy who has anger issues. I don't think like he's like an abuser or anything like that. But I do think the guy needs to get some help for his anger. Because when she said no, you could see his whole face tense up. And you could tell that... I think probably the only emotion he's been allowed to feel is anger. Yeah. And so that's what's being expressed.
I think being generous here is saying he has anger issues. He also just seems very erratic. You would not know, almost like Zenob, who you were going to meet from day to day.
Yeah,
and
I think very similar, yeah.
Maybe that's alcohol sometimes with him. The last
possibly.
Two times it has been.
Possibly.
But yeah. And I think, so is that it for them?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just started rubbing my nipples. Woo!
Gross.
I'm just kind of stretch. Oh, please. Please.
Yeah, but it's cute when I do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about SK Raven. Let's talk about your fellow Enneagram 4.
She's got to be one. I guarantee you she is a 4.
I didn't mean to bring that up, but I forgot I wrote this down. I think they're both Enneagram 4s because the way SK talks about, he goes again, he's like,
oh, they're
both
4s. Yeah,
he's like,
I think so.
We're complex. We're not. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops? Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men!
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Not basic. You know, we're not so straightforward. I went, oh my God, you think you're special too.
He does, but he picks up, he's one of those people who, he's so into her, he also picks up certain qualities from the people he's with. He's probably a 3-4 wing,
but yet he doesn't read emotional cues from her.
No, you need to figure out your Enneagram. I need to know.
I'm fine.
You're probably a 5 or a 6, maybe a 1.
I'm back away from things that classify people and
put them in shut up.
I don't know. I don't.
No. Well, I'm going to make you take it.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to sit there and it's not just classified. It is.
It became a thing after I got out of therapy school.
What it helps you do.
We never talked about it.
It helps you. You'd have the same issue with horoscopes.
I do have that issue with horoscopes, but I still like mine. But it's also like I don't like the horoscope stuff where they say like this is your personality type. I like more horoscope stuff where they're talking about this is kind of like these are where planets are moving and this is the energy that's being put out in the world.
I understand what you're
that
saying.
I enjoy more.
But it's not so strict that you can't. It's what it is, what Enneagram, what started out to be is a way to help people understand and communicate with other people.
Yes.
So I don't think it's as strict as you're thinking it is.
But I'm not going to do it because you want me to.
Yes, you will.
I'm not.
Yes, you will.
Till the day I die, you'll never know.
No, I already know what you are.
Well, then great. But I think though that with this kind of, I finally, at least for me, SK finally made sense for me a little bit more this episode. Because you're kind of, at least I've been wondering, as I've been watching this, like, is this guy, what is he telling himself? What is the story he's telling himself about Raven? Because we don't really see, this is kind of the most emotional Raven ever was with him this episode. And like, yeah, love and affectionate. And so, but now I go, oh, this guy, because he talks about them building an empire and them on their own. And I went, oh, this guy is the hero of his story. And now Raven is his heroine.
I agree. And I have a different opinion. I've been thinking about the way he interacts with his mother and the way his mother is very important to him. I think he's getting married so he can find a kind of a decoy wife to go away to Berkeley with and just like have his good times.
So, like, so you think he did? You think he? Everybody talks about Raven playing SK, but he thinks that he's playing Raven as well.
I don't know. Think he thinks he's playing her. He thinks she's the perfect total package, and he feels nothing really when you get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's being so analytical about her.
I need a little more evidence for that, but I could see that. But I think that's a good.
I think he wants to just theory. Let go when he gets to school. He's never been. He's probably from the area, or he's from. Obviously, he's been raised in the area.
What if he needs a beard?
That's what I'm basically saying too.
Ooh, what if he?
I'm
what
not
if he
saying.
Needs,
I'm not.
What if he needs
saying,
a ginger man to fly up from L.A. and meet him in Berkeley, and we could talk about books and poetry and.
I think you're putting
junk.
Yourself into this.
No, I didn't mean me. I didn't mean me at all.
But I'm saying, I think this may just be to make his mother happy. Because
there's a lot of
married,
that, that's for sure.
Then he's married. She doesn't have to worry about him anymore. He might
and his
be,
sister, who seems very exactly. prominent in his life as well. Yeah.
So I think if he's married before he goes to Berkeley, they're going to say, we don't have to worry about him anymore. We don't have to think about getting him marrying him off anymore.
But also on the flip side of that too, it does feel like, because support kind of the whole Enneagram 4 theory is that, you know, we see at least in Usman's, the men get really, I think, at least from Usman and what we've seen from Michael, men get pretty babied and up and put on pedestals in Nigerian culture from their mothers too. So I wonder, maybe it's both. I think probably his mother and his sister, especially because he is a very educated, very smart black man in America. And they're just like, I get it. They want to build up his confidence.
Well, I think he saw this as the perfect way to not have to court someone for his mother and sister.
Yeah.
And if you just say, this is who I'm marrying, here we are.
Who knows?
I never really said, I think you can have a beard. You can, but it's also, you can, especially in Nigerian culture, it's weird for him to be a certain age and not be married. So yeah, I'm saying he has marriage gotten, that's handled. Mm-hmm. And he will learn to, in his mind, I will learn to love this person. And this is perfect for Raven, because Raven will say, I'll stay in this as long as I can.
And, oh, yeah, because he says, you know, I have to adopt your dreams as if they're mine. She said, that's a perfect thing to say. Thank you. She doesn't say, but you can tell that's where she just goes, oh, and
still and, number Raven's number one fan over here.
Yeah. She's like, I love your ambition and your thoughtful. And he says, you know, 5 years from now, I see us with kids. I see us doing this. And I see us have a lot of money. And she went, yeah, I like that. Like that.
I just think this is giving us a little bit of a concept of the anti-love is blind, where it's not the fairy tale. These are two people who are making it work in different ways, but they're finding what's advantageous for both of them. Neither one of them is none of this is fairy tale love. And I think everyone else is trying to find that fairy tale and failing horribly.
No, that's true.
So in a way, this is the easiest one to watch, and strangely, the most interesting, but at the same time, there's not as much that goes on here. I want to just say a couple of quotes that I enjoyed. He says, he's talking about, I really like a lot of things about you that blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're so far away from getting married in 2 days, more than the others, conventionally, from what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking...
But Jake, that's just your basic thinking. You're just thinking about convention. We're so different.
Exactly. But I'm saying, I think this is more like an arranged marriage.
It feels like it, yeah.
Yeah, and where we see in Indian matchmaking and other things, and I get, we've already from. I'm not sure if SK's family would support arranged marriage or something like that. But in Nigeria, it's definitely practiced.
Yeah.
So I think that so it's starting to feel normal for them. That's what I thought about arranged marriage, but. That's when she basically says, do you notice what she does when he does something nice for her? She goes, aw, but she never goes that far. It's almost like she's trying to make it, you never see her take something and kind of make it really real for her.
I agree. You never see her meet him never see her meet him where he is emotionally.
I don't know if he's there.
I think he's there more than her, but I don't think he's fully there. He's just so, he's in a way they're the perfect match because he's so intellectual.
Yeah.
And she's actually so emotional, but she doesn't want to be emotional.
Right.
And
no,
so
I agree with you.
She found someone where she can just have word relationship with and not really have a lot of, not have those words have a lot of attribution and meaning or be attributed to meaning.
I think it sounds great. Just let me have my piece on the side. We'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Poodle. You don't have to save it anymore. Let's just talk about it.
Well, we're at the dance studio with a dance teacher dressed like a flight attendant.
He's cute though, right? But he looks ridiculous.
I'm like, why are you dressed that way?
I don't
like
know.
Like Lufthansa, a flight attendant.
He does, yes, look like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With
or
his,
someone who's
with his like trendy glasses.
Yeah, or like the men on United Arab Emirates.
So... they're practicing.
God, those flight attendants are hot. Remember when we were staying at a hotel in Seattle and like a group of them, like 20 of them just walked in. Those men.
You need to get it done. So they're practicing for their first dance. And she's like, I want something sweet and romantic that people would just say they're in their own thing, blah, blah, blah. This was shot so beautifully. With the light, they did like slow-mo. They didn't do this for anyone else, y'all. That's what I'm talking about, the editing here.
I wrote at the end of the segment, I am in love with them.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. The editing for this couple with like no one else.
They don't do it for Alexa and Brennan, and you think they would because they're a very...
Yeah, they go out of their way. I guarantee you, there was 50 minutes of this episode. I guarantee you probably anywhere between 15 and 20 minutes were Cole and Zeynep.
Probably, yeah.
So many different things. And so, and like there's this song called The Art of Letting Go. Like they're letting go of all their things.
Let it be.
I guess I have to question, is the editing to tell a story, or is the editing to keep us guessing or to shock us? And I wonder, and I'm just questioning, this is a very existential question about how this show is edited.
I think because of what we do, you think about it more. I think a lot of people are just along for the ride, but
I know.
But I would say, after seeing this 3 seasons, I feel like the editing is to keep us guessing more than anything, to keep us guessing.
That sucks.
I could ask my neighbor who's the editor. Maybe next time I see her, I'll ask her. I don't know if she'll tell me. But I think that's it. I think that is it. They want to keep us – I think it's they want to keep us guessing. And the reason I think that, based off of these last 3 seasons, is where season one failed – season one petered out at the beginning or at the end because we kind of knew – who was going to say what. Everything worked out much closer than to what we thought.
Right.
Except for like Giannina and Damien. Those were that was kind of the one couple we didn't know.
But
they want that to be every couple now.
That's the thing.
I think that's wrong to do.
I don't think that's satisfying. I understand having two of those
I don't think
couples.
It's sustainable. As a producer, I don't think it's sustainable to try to edit in that way. But I think that's what they want, as many as will they or won't they they can.
What's weird is that Married at First Sight, this guy's, Chris Colan's other show, doesn't follow this model.
Yeah, no.
I guess these are existential questions that probably no one's having but me. But
those, you got to think, they're probably getting a different mandate from Netflix on this. Netflix wants TV where people go, oh my gosh, I have to watch that next episode.
Right.
They want more than it. They want water cooler television that people are all talking about.
I guess to me, I guess my question is, how does that make me root for people?
I think you do.
Maybe
but
that's less important.
And Netflix is more of an affair where cable television is a relationship.
Yeah.
They want you to be with these people longer. They just want you to get your jollies
Netflix
and then leave.
Netflix is my affair.
Netflix is your affair.
Ooh.
That's why we all love it, because it's not committal. We jump in, we watch 8 episodes of Floor is Lava, and then we're done.
Well, I think that's true. But weirdly, though, these people have a fan base later.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. So I don't know, because they do become kind of special to us somehow. Most of season 2 didn't. But season 1, a lot of those people did.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'm thinking about it too hard.
They sit after the dance, and that's where she says, I get a little sad because I'm not going to have a daddy-daughter dance. And I know... I meant to say, y'all, throughout the entire episode, when they're doing the dance, like, Cole is just complimenting her. Yeah. And he's learning she needs constant validation.
He is learning how to do it.
But what's interesting to me, and which makes me think maybe Cole will say no, is because Cole is learning. And this is why I think we'll talk about that comment later. I think a part of Cole, he probably doesn't know what bipolar is. And so that was a mean thing to say, but I think it came from a place of he seems, even when he compliments her in the beginning, she doesn't take it. She just kind of goes, okay, kind of like, all right, that's one. She never says thank you. She never kind of takes it in and compliments him.
She does
him
a couple
back.
Of times. She does, but she never compliments him back.
But the thing, and what it all boils down to, Zenob is not able to give to Cole at all in the way he needs to be given to.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
It's a mismatch. So she keeps saying, I think I would tell you guys, really pay attention to her words. She keeps saying things like, I can see myself being married to you. If I didn't think so, I would already be gone. She never really says things like, I want to be married to you.
To you.
Yeah.
She doesn't validate Cole.
Yeah. And
I know her parents died. That's way worse. My dad died. I get it. And it wasn't young. So that's very, but still, I would still feel like I would say, it really sucks I'm not able to do the father-daughter dance. And I still would say to my partner, and I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to do the mother-son dance because your mother isn't showing up. Because in a way, what's worse? One parent's dead and they can't be there, or the other one chose not to support you and isn't there either?
That's a really good point.
And the fact that maybe she validated, it's just not in the editing, but the fact that he was so there for her, so supportive for her, and she didn't validate any of that, I feel like I'm a little over Zenob.
If I was to meet this woman and I would say, oh, what a sourpuss. Like, and that's a horrible thing I would think to say, but that's all I can think of.
You know, she would be someone we would meet at a dinner party somewhere in like Cedar Springs, because I'm sure she has gay friends or whatever. Yeah. And we would have dinner. We would think, oh, she's funny. And we would have dinner for once and we'd all drink a little bit. And then you would see her again and you realize
with her fiance, with her husband. And it's very different.
Or you would see her again and realize, oh, I thought you were just being in a mood and being fun and sassy that night. You're this negative all the time. I would not hang out with you anymore.
So y'all, they have dinner on the boat. Is that all that you had about that conversation?
Yeah.
They have dinner on the boat. They're praying. They're saying grace. Lord Jesus bless the foes of our sins.
Oh, I will say this. What did you think when Cole got on, like kind of swiftly when they were having that conversation before, got down on his knees and looked at her so intensely?
I'm a yes. Oh, he's so cute. Oh,
so cute. Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, they pray. They say a prayer.
He says, they say, I love you. He again says, you look so good tonight. And then he says,
and she's like, I knew you were a good man. And I've seen a lot more of that lately. And I went, and you're punishing him for what he apologized for 5 times.
Yeah. And then she even says, I knew there was potential in there, which is such a backhanded compliment.
She's shaming him.
And then she says, I've seen a lot of that lately, which is really minimizing what he's done.
Yes.
It's going to be when this is, I tend not to try to read a lot of the, of internet stuff, but sometimes I just want to see what the temperature is. It is really interesting. I think I brought this up before of you, it's almost like you either need to like Zenob. If you hate Cole, you like Zenob and you think Zenob, it's like, it's both things have to be done at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And it's
so interesting.
I get triggered by Zenob, obviously, because I talked about my past, but I don't think she's like a bad person. I actually think she's a pretty great person. I just think she's really fucking unhappy with herself. And she thinks getting married to a guy is going to bring happiness. And it's
I think this is emotionally her MO. This is how she has to behave.
Yeah.
Because she is basically telling him in any way except for saying the words, break up with me. Break up with me. I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to make you do it.
Because I'm angry at myself and I'm angry at the world because I don't have my parents. And I'm not over it.
But she does, Cole not even
over
does
it,
say.
But you never get over that.
Right.
But I'm not with it.
Cole even says, she says, every day you slide more into husband material from fiance. And I think this is what he's seeing by this is potential. This is playful. But I would love for one moment for her to be not playful and to be super honest.
Too vulnerable.
Without being,
too vulnerable, too scary.
I think it might be.
Too scary.
So
it's always, this is her MO. Every time. And I know it. I can feel it. I've known people like this. Every time it starts to get a little emotional, or let's say he says something that's really sweet to her that touches her heart, she either has to go, aw, or mainly what happens, right when she starts to feel really deeply about something, she's got to make a wisecrack or a sarcastic comment because she can't
she's
get
feeling
into
something.
That feeling. She can't drop into that. Welcome to the world of bitchy gay men in your 20s.
Right. That's kind of what she feels like to
me. It's so many gay men who can't feel all the trauma they've been through, especially in the South. So they're like going to be that sarcastic, bitchy queen.
Feeling a little attacked.
No.
Especially in my late 20s. Yeah. Be a little attacked there. Ow. Could have warned me before you slashed my throat.
Well, I didn't mean you, but you asked me this because I said something about, oh, I really, I forgot what show is on. And it was a good question. You said, well, how would you deal with that? Because I said, oh, I feel like I'm very similar. So if you relate to that, like, what would you tell Zenob? How does Zenob or someone else need to be in this relationship? Or what does someone do with that that's in a relationship like that?
Drop the act. Know that we drop the act. Look at the person across from you. Instead, that is true.
She is not looking at him.
Look at the person across from you and really focus on what they're saying. Take it as real. Just for one moment in your life, trust what someone's saying unless it's what's behind it.
That is a truth. Take it because you're right. She never takes. Yes, she never takes anything that he says as real.
No. She thinks he's just, and that's the thing. If she believes nothing he's saying is real, she needs to leave.
And that makes sense of when he, that's, thank you. You put words to what I was saying with, I agree. The bipolar comment is terrible.
Yep.
But I think because he feels like nothing. He's so confused and he feels like everything that I'm saying that is my reality, you're in a different world than me and it's up, down, up, down. And so I think he was genuinely like trying to figure out her, and it was a horrible way to say it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of naive, but that makes sense now.
So the way this is set up, I'm just wondering, I can only imagine that when they were filming this, they're like, boy, we could not have gotten her any worse.
Oh, no.
And it's interesting because this is one thing when we're talking about editing and the storytelling here. I don't know how this is helping people root for Zeynep. Maybe we're not going to anymore. But this is, he's cutting vegetables. He says he's cooking for her. She's like, yeah, you're cooking for her. She comes in. I assume she's been at work. She says, can I have a stemmed glass? Pours a little wine. And I saw him pouring the wine. I went, oh my God, what are you doing? Use the goblets. Use the goblets. Use the goblets.
That's what I thought. I did too. I was like, what? A real glass?
I almost shit my pants. And then she's like, I think she said, can I have a stemmed glass, please? And it was in the goblets. I think that was a little wink at us. So I was losing my mind.
This is what, you know, you said something. This is kind of what supports my theory about their main goal of this is to keep us guessing. Because you said, what about who we're going to root for? I don't think they care about that. I think that's the thing with the show that feels dysregulating. They will throw anyone under the bus of their characters if it will make us hold our chest and wonder what's going to happen. And they're doing that with Zeynep because they get us to love her. And then they show this and you go, wait, I was really loving you and I thought you were this and had this sweetness and now you're being horrible to this guy.
I think that's okay for competition shows, but I don't think that's okay for love shows. I don't think that's okay.
I agree, but I just think this is not going to be that show then.
Yeah.
I don't think it was last season either.
No, it wasn't.
But it was more in season one.
Yeah. And so she basically, y'all, she's coming in. She's asking him a lot of questions about the food. And you're like, uh-oh. And he basically is trying to play it off. You've been hired as my sous chef. And she starts to kind of do stuff. And the thing about it is, y'all, if you're in a relationship with someone, they're cooking you food, there's not a lot you can do, even if you know it's going to be bad.
Especially in a new relationship.
Yeah. Just let someone, if someone's cooking me food, I've had men do that for me before. And to be honest, most of the time it is substandard. I'm going to be really nice. I'm not going to say when I'm with them, how about just now everything in me is saying, how about you put a little more salt on that while you're cooking? Because I don't want to diminish them trying to do something nice for me.
Because to me, the act, what you're saying is so, the act and the intention is so much more meaningful than the fucking food.
Yes. Agree.
Yeah.
Like I'll eat bad food, especially if I'm going to get banged later at night.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. See, it's sweet.
Wow.
So she's basically, and then he's like, oh, look at my little boy. And this almost felt like production says, Cole, get out your Nerf guns just to piss her off. And
didn't go good.
And this is the other thing. This is why it felt like I'm going to use another cooking metaphor. It felt like this scene was a stew that had been over-seasoned with too much stuff in it.
Yeah. This is where I wrote, is this Fraudacity?
Yeah.
Because it felt very produced.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like we've gotten, with this episode, was the first time I've noticed it. I've seen little shadows before. This is where this moment of having two different moments, this is the only storyline that had three different sections. And yeah. And it seems like they've gotten the last, besides Matt and Colleen, they've gotten the last like thing about two or three times. And and basically, y'all, they sit down.
And he kind of like looks at her and says, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And that's where she's like, I'm fine.
And he's like, I just gotta tell you,
you still want to go through with this, right? He says that to her.
He says, I want you to be less bratty. And she's like, I guess I'm mourning my singledom. And it's interesting when I think if she smiled, it would be easier, but she never does she says things like that.
She never does. And she never does.
Cole says, I just got to tell you, I'm very confused. I'm getting two different versions of you. And he's like, I don't like Brussels sprouts, but I'll tell you if I like them after a couple. I'll have a couple. And then he's like, what am I missing? Are you actually going to marry me? And she says this in such a way, because she never really gets around to it. We may make this a meme of how can Zenob avoid the question so many times.
She really does.
I'm 1,000% in after the pods and the last few weeks.
Okay, but answer his question.
And then she even says, I won't know how I feel until I'm walking down the aisle. And it's interesting because we already had.
That's not her. But that is not the character we've seen of Zenob. She does not make those decisions.
Exactly.
That's why I felt Fraudacity.
And then compare that answer to Colleen's earlier. No, I'm not ready today. Very different than saying, I can't tell you an answer until I'm walking down the aisle. And she has said the whole time, will you tell me if you're not going to marry me? And I'm going to tell you. That's not it.
It's funny. You're right. I believe that with Colleen.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it when Zenob said it.
So... And Cole said, that's not what a girl who's about to marry me is going to say. And then it just goes on and it's more brutal. And then
I am extremely sweet. I'm extremely sweet. Because he said, you know, I wrote, he doesn't validate him at all. And she doesn't validate. And he said, well, you put me down. And every time he's saying, you put me down. He said, I just don't want to say something. I don't want to feel like I get punched in the face. She never acknowledges any of that. She never investigates.
Yeah.
Like emotionally investigates. What do you mean by
that? She doesn't validate his feeling. She actually argues with the way he's feeling.
Yeah. Y'all, it's okay. You don't have to agree with someone, but like if somebody said, oh, Matt, I think like it feels like when I talk to you, it feels like I'm getting punched in the face. I can say, what do you mean by that? I can ask more questions and get, she doesn't do any of that. That's where she's like, I do not do that. I do not do that.
Yeah. The sweet thing bothers me a little bit because I think he just wants a wife sometimes to just be nice and not be. And I don't think he obviously does, but he, what he, what he would should say instead of sweet is, can you just be kind?
I think kind. And I think that it's, he wants someone who, I don't think he necessarily wants him to be sweet all the time. I think he likes, like he said earlier, she's like, I can nag you. And he was like, yeah, but it's playful. He thinks that's teasing. And you know what? I talked about this like in the third episode. I said, ugh, this is what I don't like about this relationship. It's one of those relationships where you start out and you're always teasing one another and you think one day the teasing's going to drop. And then you realize, oh,
does.
Fuck,
that's
this is this relationship.
Yeah. So that's when he says, he's like, I don't think the problems we have, she says to him, I don't think the problems are bad enough for me to say no. Again, what kind of thing is that to say?
Nothing about him. Nothing about wanting to marry him.
Just their relationship. And then she says, I wrote down again, she's going to make him say no if it's the last thing she does.
Yeah, she really will.
And then he's like, my proposal meant a lot. Be sweet, be unassuming. Again, Cole, not good words to say to Zeynep. And then that's when Zeynep's like, I am a catch. I am blah, blah, blah. And, you know, physically, she really is. I think she needs to do a lot of work on her abandonment issues.
Yes.
And her own issues with her self-esteem.
Well, and on a base level, her ability to express love. Because yeah. He says the word sweet. That's a trigger word for me and a lot of people because so many women are told to be fucking sweet and they just want to spit it. And I think people look at Cole's words and not at the intention. Because you just said it. He wants her to be kind. That's what he wants. That's a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not kind when she says, you know, at the end where she's like, you're, when he says the bipolar thing and she's like, are you projecting? Again, that's hurtful to say, but I still would be like, why would you say that to me? What do you mean by that? She just immediately deflects and actually she's deflecting and projecting you spot it, you got it. She's trying to project on him because she all the time is making accusations about who he is as a person, finally, where she's like, well, you can go find someone else tonight if you want to find a sweet woman.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. She's on that. And then those poor sweet potato fries were just sitting there. Nobody even ate them. That's
and
the saddest part
leaves.
Of them. Who leaves sweet potato fries?
So one thing I thought about, and that's when she said the bipolar thing. One thing I thought about is I had the thought of maybe he confessed to her that he was diagnosed bipolar.
Maybe.
But I was trying to...
Maybe he has a family member. I don't know.
Right. Or I was trying to... Because one of the reasons is she kind of flipped over that, but not in the way that I thought she would. It was interesting. Yeah. It's either that or he doesn't know anything about being bipolar.
I think it's that.
Yeah.
I think it's... I feel like we're getting better, but a lot of people say, oh, they're bipolar. They say that all the time. That's why when we kind of finally said we felt like Natalie was being that way, we were very intentional about it because we try not to say that a lot on the show unless we mean
it. No, we were saying she were borderline.
Or borderline, I'm sorry. Wrong B word. But the same way, people say, oh, they're borderline. They're sociopath. They're like when we try to say those things on this word, we try to say, A, with education behind us, but intention. But a lot of people, I think, like especially – I think a lot of guys say about women all the time, oh, she's bipolar. He's going to get a lot of fucking
hate. She's crazy.
For that.
Yeah.
People are going to come for
I know.
Good luck, Cole.
I know. Yeah. He's going to, with that remark, he will be absolutely reviled.
Oh, like I think on almost Bartice level, people will go after him.
And they won't see, it's with that remark, they won't. Like I said, it's that thing of I hate Cole, so Zeynep's the winner. They won't see everything she's doing. Yeah.
But somebody's getting married next episode.
Two couples. I honestly, my only yes or no, my only sure, I think, is Alexa and Brendan.
Brent, I mean... And maybe SK and Raven at this point. Who knew? We said no.
I think she'll say no.
We said no last episode. But
I think she's
maybe
say
she
no.
found the Mark who's not going to care. Maybe she finally found the husband you've been looking for, Poodle.
I think it'll get too real. No, my husband will already be through school, honey. I'm not going to need to wait any length of time.
Oh, wow. All right, y'all. That's the episode.
Ooh.
It was a good yikes. Episode. Again, this, you know, I was talking to, who was it? It wasn't Mary Payne. I forgot who it was, but it was
riveting.
But it's what I love, the kind of television, even 90 Day, even at some points, not right now and hey, but this show. Oh, I was talking to people that weren't podcasters at a Halloween party, but another man and woman couple that are obsessed with this show. And they said, you know, this show, this has opened us. We've had conversations about our marriage from watching this show that we never thought we would have from this.
Wow.
So I think a lot of people, that's why people get into this show. Cause you go, would you? And so it'd be, I don't know if there's any podcasts. Is anybody else, is Married to Reality, is anybody covering this that are married?
I don't know.
It's
a good question.
It'd be interesting. So anyway, so we hope that you're having good conversations about home, or at least you're hating Bartice the way we do. One or the other. All right, everybody.
Boy, yeah, I think he's right now. It's him and then Cole probably right underneath him. This week, it'll probably be neck and neck.
Boy, you're right though. I switched. I flipped. I'm Cole. I just want to hug you up, suck your dick, and hug you up.
It's weird because I he's diminished for me. But
the fact that I know he's more religious too makes me want to fuck him more, because that's that whole thing. I just want to make him sin.
Corrupt someone. Yeah. But that's not a page out of my book. Oh. Gross.
Father, I sinned. I sinned real bad.
Okay. Let's go, please.
All right.
Please.
What are we talking about? Close out the show. I'm thinking about Cole.
If you thought you, Yoki, you can find us on, the TikTok at Reality Gaze. You can find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, who knows for how long.
For how long, I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
Join us in our Sissy Squad, our Facebook group. We have fun in there. And y'all, if you thought you heard as a sea turtle passing Colleen and Matt... actually look, ask another sea turtle or a manta ray going,
is love blind?